Fighting Against God, 1 Samuel 29, by Paul Bucknell, part of a larger series, Behold Our King, God's Constant Presence in Dark Times. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net, releasing God's truth to a new generation.
We ourselves are going through a series on 1 Samuel and getting close to the end, Behold Our King, where we are seeing special graces. Yes, we're seeing Saul, we are seeing David, but really it's all pointing to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and finding how God is with us even through the difficult times. Today is a very tricky message in one sense, but it's very true. The title is called Fighting Against God. Now, I don't know, maybe probably nobody would hear say, I'm fighting against God. But you know, we do find ourselves in situations at times when we actually are fighting against God. And I think 1 Samuel 29 is a good pointer for us, a reminder that even, it's not just unbelievers. You know, I know when we're unbelievers, it's certainly, we don't want to hear God's word. I've been to church. I have to be here maybe, but okay, my mind's not here. My heart's not here. Okay, we understand that fighting against God. I was like that too. But even for believers, and those who have the Spirit of God, this is a challenge that we're going to look at today to help us understand. Maybe if you're in that situation, not all is lost. Not all is lost. Let's pray as we continue. Lord, we thank you so much for the amazing love of God in Christ Jesus. And we ask God that you would teach us, that you would open up the word of God, and that we would see the marvelous grace of Christ Jesus for people like us. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't look for the high and lofty because you would not find us. But you looked for the lost, the sinners, and you found us and brought us near through Jesus. We thank you. Bless us in this time, we pray. In Christ's name we ask, amen. Our outline is pretty simple. You can follow on the bulletin if you wish. But our title, Fighting Against God, we have 2 points. And there's a blank there. You might want to fill that in. Facing desperate moments from verses 1 to 4 of 1 Samuel 29. Facing desperate moments. And the second one is finding amazing grace, verses 5 to 11. And this will steer us right into what happens when we find ourselves fighting against God in our own life. Now, it might not be your total life. It might be a part of your life. I think that's the case it was with David. But then again, why are we fighting against him at all? And this is the situations that we find ourselves in. Not planned for, but sometimes that's the way we are. Galatians 5:17 reminds us of the ongoing spiritual battle that we have. For the flesh sets, can you read with me, please? For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. You see, opposition, you know, the flesh, the spirit. It's a strong, ongoing war there. And so when we find ourselves at times, though we don't have to, but, you know, submitting to the flesh, it will be dominating us, going contrary to what God wants to do in our life. I'd like to read these verses from 1 to 11. It provides a very interesting story. I'll go back and catch up on the background a little bit because I know last week we had a different service here and not on this topic. But we'll find ourselves right now here. The Philistines are about to go to war with Israel. And I want you to see what the generals here discover. It's something they didn't like, okay, as I read along. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, while the Israelites were camping by the spring, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines were proceeding on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were proceeding on in the rear with Achish. Verse 3. Then the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish, King Achish, said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me these days, or rather these years? And I've found no fault in him from the day he deserted me to this day." But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Make the man go back that he may return to his place where you assigned him." And do not let him go down to battle with us, lest in the battle he become our adversary to us. For with what could this man make himself acceptable to his Lord? Would it not be with the heads of these men? His own men. Is this not David of whom they sing in the dances and saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Verse 6, then Achish called David and said to him, As the Lord lives, you have been upright and you're going out and you're coming in with me in the army are pleasing in my sight. For I have not found evil in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, you are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord's. Now therefore return and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. And David said to Achish, But what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord, my king? But Achish answered and said to David, I know that you're pleasing in my sight like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, He must not go up with us to the battle. Now then arise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who have come with you. And as soon as you have risen early in the morning and have light, depart. So David arose early, he and his men, to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Facing desperate moments. Let's just get a little of the background here. We're going to go back two chapters in chapter 27, verses 1 to 2. This is where David made his initial decision to leave Israel and join up with the Philistines. David said to himself, because Saul was chasing him, the king of Israel, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul then will despair of searching for me any more in all the territory of Israel, and I will escape from his hand. So David arose and crossed over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to Achish, king of Gath. So this began the time where David started working with and for King Achish of the Philistines. Notice what he said, and you have to be careful what you think sometimes to yourself, right? I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. How would you think he could more properly answer that question? We know it's a legitimate one. See, the problem began here, I think, because he didn't get a biblical perspective. Did God not save him time after time? Did God not provide and show extraordinary grace time after time when King Saul came chasing after him? Didn't he? Yes, we talked about some of those right here. But now he came to the conclusion, when you take God out of your thoughts, this is what happens. Now, I will perish one day without the hand of Saul. You see, he didn't include God there. He could have said it this way, you know, it looks like I'm in a real bad situation with King chasing me. But you know, God has been with me day after day. Yeah, that's how he should have done it. Bring God back into his thoughts. He didn't. No. And so he ends marooned by himself, and he comes up with a solution. I guess I better go over and leave Israel. And this is where he faced some problems. So what we're looking at in King Achish here is certainly his response of being very favorable toward King David. But the commander said, this is gone too far. Achish, you're out of your mind. What are you doing? The commander said, what are the Hebrews doing here? Now, do you see, remember what's happening, right? The Philistines, the green here, come up. And they're going to face Israel on the right, the Israelites, okay? Now, this is fair enough, okay? One side against the other. But what's happening? At the end of the line, after the hundreds and the thousands pass of the Philistine soldiers, the generals look and say, what is going on? David's men are up behind us. He killed thousands of Philistines already. And Achish says, no problem. The general said, big problem. And we're going to find out that this is actually God's grace intervening for David. This was a desperate moment, though. I don't know what David was thinking here. It was a pretty bad situation. But I want you to think about it here in a different way. I want us to go back to our lives. How could David ever get fixed in such a situation? Here's the great David who fought Goliath. when he was young still, and won. Remember? Remember, he fought the Philistines, and he went out, and he was the general to be highly respected. This is why Saul is so jealous of him, though he doesn't need to be. We understand that. He loved God's word. He wrote Psalms. He memorized God's word. He knew God's word. He loved him so much. Okay, so like us, you know, many of you brought up in a church, right? A lot of you know God's word. We all know God's word. Many of us know God's word. And so God's word's there. How is it that David got fixed in such a hole? Well, I want to make a suggestion here. I think it's because of this. Not that God's word is not there. It's near us. We can all open up to it, take your Bible app, and there it is, right? There's God's word. There's my Bible in my home. But what happens is it's like God's word's up here, and you fall down in a chasm of darkness. And the darkness, the God's word's not shining there. You know, in other words, wherever God's word is not touching your life, shaping your mind, shaping your doctrine, shaping your perspective, your feelings, you are allowing worldliness to creep in. You are creating a chasm of darkness where God's word is not touching your life. That's what happens when you worry or get fearful of something. You've stepped into one of these chasms. God's word's there, his promises are there, but you're down here. It's like King Saul with jealousy. You know, it's like he only could sense that jealousy. It took him over. But he stepped away from God's word that, Saul, I raised you up for being king. You know, I favored you. I blessed you. David could be your helper, not your competitor. But he couldn't get up there out of the chasm to see God's word. And that's what happens to our lives. Somehow we allow, maybe sometimes bitterness, sometimes bias, sometimes prejudice, whatever reason, we step out of the light from God's word, and so our lives are shaken, and we think we're alone. And like David, we make an equation, a thought, a rationalization about what I should do. And you think, wow, this is what I should do. I'm the general, of course. You know, David was very clever. But he was so confident in his decision, he even led 600 people with him. Did you notice that? And that's what will happen. You know, it's worse when you get to be a leader. It's not only you that go down. You bring others with you. But do you see what happens? When we void out the light of God's word, we only can fall into a chasm of darkness, of worry, of fear, of jealousy, of hatred, of bitterness. And then it all goes on and on. That is the work of the flesh. Know for sure every time that you have fallen into one of these sins that you are void of God's light in this one or more areas. So let me go over a little more specifically from the text here from verses 1 to 4. We already read the text, but I'm just reviewing it here. So David knew God's word, but he shielded himself from that light. David was working for the Philistines, not just days. Yeah, this is what Achish, King Achish of the Philistines said. He has been with me these days, or rather these years. Yeah, this is, David, you see, this is not just a decision. It is a decision he made every day to stay serving King Achish. And sometimes we're like that. We're wasting our days, our life, serving my bitterness. I'm never going to forgive him. I'm never going to do anything nice to that person. You are wasting your time. Why not step into the love of God? Instead, you're allowing that bitterness to encage you. Why waste time fighting against God? Now, if you don't believe in Jesus, I want to still say it's the same for you. You're fighting against God. God's love is still there. His grace is still there. But you haven't stepped through the door of Jesus into his marvelous presence. Why not? You're wasting your days. And you're risking your eternal future. This was bad days for David. He convinced himself he was working for God, though he was working for King Achish, the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people. And that was very evident because he was out to destroy Israel. And in fact, in this upcoming battle, we'll see he did wipe out the Israelite army, a good part of it. But being devious, David deceived King Achish. You do see that, right? That's part of the darkness. Whenever you see yourself not being fully truthful, you can see that you're probably hiding something in your own life. Because God is light, and he shines in the truth. And that was David. You can see his stress that he came about in this situation. And we'll see it more when we look at 1 Samuel 30. David ended up, his men angry with him, King Achish loving him, and the Philistine commanders surprised at him. He was stuck. How do you get out of that? So, you know, we wonder what was in David's mind. And that's what happens when we get into these desperate moments. Now, I'm going to talk about the first rebuke here. I want you to read on to 1 Samuel 30 when you get a chance, because that will be the second rebuke. And the second rebuke is more stinging. This is the first rebuke to help unravel David's plans. You see, rebuke is a blessing from God. It really is. Because what God is doing is trying to pull us out of that pit. Remember that chasm of darkness? He's pulling us out. And you know, you might feel ugly about yourself, and you wonder what your friends are going to say, but God's still pulling you out. And it's, leave me alone, you know. But God's doing it. He does it often through rebuking us. Let me point out 3 points here. God reveals that he's still working, willing to work with us. That is awesome. Because we have just involved ourselves in some sin and some disobedience, and yet God is pulling at us. Why is he pulling? To help you. I don't want that help. I know we get into snits like that. But he's there. He's still pulling. Because he loves you. He's willing to work with you. And in your mind, you say, yeah, maybe God, I haven't been too close to you. Okay? Acknowledge that. He's pulling on your heart. Maybe he is right now. God is committed. Number two, God is committed to your sanctification. He doesn't just want you as a number. A lot of people just want numbers or taxes, right? God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your love. He doesn't just want you in the sanctuary. He wants your heart. You really want me? Open up your heart to him. Isn't that what this week is, the Passion Week? To break us down in every way to see our sin, you still want me? And then the resurrection, you mean you want me to co-work with you? You want to put your spirit in me? Yes. You see, he's there to sanctify you, but he can't work close with you unless you're living holy and obedient. Number three, God is willing and able to rescue us from our dilemma. Oh, he's so able. And that's what we're going to see. Actually, what God has done here, he broke David's plan here. He unraveled it. And so David could no longer live in that myth. His creation, his plan. And that happens to us in our lives. These are called wake-up calls, right? You would fail a test, perhaps. Or all of a sudden you find that you're not believing what the scripture is teaching. Why? You know, why? What happened to my mind that I believe my intelligence is cleverer than scripture? Why? You lose your job. You're lying, you're stealing, whatever. You flunked a class. You know, you got in an accident because you're speeding. You got disease because of immorality. And on goes the list. But it's a wake-up call. Well, yeah. But maybe I wasn't too clever here. And you're willing to re-examine your life. Re-examine your life. You know, it's happened to me several times where God used an unbeliever to rebuke me. You know, and of something. Why are you just putting up with that kind of work? You know, you could do better than that or something like that. And I said, whoa, you know, if he notices that, you know, then, wow, you know, it kind of woke me up to what God was saying. And this is what the generals were doing, the lords of the Philistines, waking David up. What you have been doing is no good. It's time to forsake that and begin to turn to God's ways. And so I just want to ask you a few questions. Have you made some compromises and ended up fighting against God in one or more area of your life? Have you been deceiving people or yourself, you know, whether your parents or someone else, your partner, your spouse, your friend. You've been lying. Now, that shows that you're covering up. Number three, it's time to end our fight with God and be able to believe God's way is supreme. It's wonderful. It's best. And if we find ourselves like God doesn't want me. I've really messed up my life. Is that where you are? Right now, just sense God is pulling you back. He says, I do want you. This is what he was doing with David. David did not deserve a second chance. He did not deserve to be pulled out of his situation. As a leader, he also compromised many other men's life and his family. This is just the first rebuke. There's another one coming. I told you that. Let me go on to finding amazing grace. Now, this is the Lord speaking here. Is this not David of whom they sing? And singing the dances. Saul has slain his thousands. David his 10,000. What is he doing here? Verse 7. Now therefore return and go in peace, King Achish says, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistine. David says to the king, oh, but what have I done? What have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day? You have to wonder what is going through David's mind. But sometimes we come up, I've heard so many terrible excuses from Christians. Terrible excuses justifying your error. Justifying your error. Do you have one in your mind? You're making excuses for your ways? Well, does David even believe his words? Is he so convinced? Sometimes we've said it so many times. We are convinced we are right. But we're not. Or not. And so God goes beyond David's plans, breaks him out, and shows him this is not right. This is not what God wants, that you are fighting Israel. You're willing to put God to the test there. That was too much. The point here is not David's faith, but God's grace. You see? David did not deserve this chance to come back. But God brought that grace, that favor, that escape, because God wanted David to be close to him. And that's what I'm trying to share here. This is the amazing grace for each of our lives. We don't deserve the treatment God's given us, but God has yet showed us his grace. Our life actually becomes a showcase of God's grace. It's where he is going to magnify his goodness to us. And I want you to not misunderstand my words or the words of the scriptures. I'm not trying to say to you as a brother and sister in Christ that when you sin or even you get in one of these pits of darkness, don't consider yourself lost as if salvation was not real. The scriptures will help us understand that we should not doubt our salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved, right? Jesus says in John 10:28, and I give eternal life to them that they would never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. You see, this is God's commitment to us. We're not saying that you should doubt your salvation. But on the other hand, I do want to say, there are passages, like Hebrews 10:38, that caution us. If we find that we're in a pit of darkness, and we no longer really care about what God says, you probably were never ever saved in the first place. Okay? That is probably what it is intimidating. If you can be happy with your sin, no longer think about God's way, no longer wrestling with it, then you probably shouldn't consider yourself a Christian, even if you were baptized, even if you grew up in a church. What you want to find, though, is that love for God and his way. And David, no doubt, had that wrestling about God's way. Second of all, I would just want to caution, don't presume upon God's grace. Don't say, all right, because I'm God's believer, I can do this and think that God's going to let me get away with it. Well, think again. 1 Corinthians 11:30-32. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick. He's talking about believers. And a number sleep. They died. God killed them. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged, but when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. Oh, you see what he's saying? We are disciplined by the Lord that we might not be condemned with the world. That God brought David out of the pit is a big sign that God was really still working with David. And the same call to us to step out of that pit that God might show his magnificent grace. Don't presume upon God's grace. Instead, oh God, I've been too long away from you, too long far from you. So step out of that worldliness. Don't let judgment, God's discipline of your life, come to you as it did to David and as it would again come to David. That would be the second rebuke. Instead, be amazed at God's saving and sanctifying grace. It is incredible. Can you say that with me? It is incredible. Once more. It is incredible. God's amazing grace is incredible. Why would he ever spare me? Why would he ever want me? Think of the many times he rescued you after you sinned. You just became a believer. I was just baptized, but the next week, what did I do? That's not just you. It's all of us. But that's God's patient work in our lives. And that's where we want to be a people who not talk about how great we are. We talk about how great Jesus is. His righteousness, his protection, his mercy, and bringing us back into obedience with him. I was just yesterday, I was driving behind a car. It's 60 miles an hour, 55 around here. And the guy was just going like 30, 35, and he had his brakes going on. Oh, I said, this is terrible. It's hard enough because speed limits aren't high enough around here, I figure. But anyways, so once putting brakes on, I said, this is a highway. You know, take your feet off the brakes at least, and I can push you. But no, didn't do that. I wouldn't do that either. But I feel like doing that. I should say, yeah. But you know, that's what our Christian lives are like. Putting the brakes on the highway. You don't do that. I'm teaching my son, my children how to drive. Don't put your brakes on the highway unless it's a car that stops in front of you. Of course, there's a few excuses. But you don't do that. You know, the ramp coming up, you slow down, you know, all that stuff. But the point is our Christian lives are like that. And we just going along slow. People are impatient and you get annoyed with them. What have they got with me? But it's really you. You got your brakes on. You don't really believe God loves you. You don't really believe God wants you to have your very best. And your heart's reserved and you're suspicious toward God. Why? You don't need to be. Rejoice. The day of the law, of the curse is past. Jesus has died. Take your brakes off. Let the Spirit of God fill you. Don't think sin has any good in it. It never does. It's all a part of the deception. And the sooner we get back with God, the better it is. I just want to close here with one picture. And, you know, here as men, as women, men, we are really like David. And that's what I've been trying to tell you here. It's not just David that has failed. It's all of us have failed in one or more ways. There's nothing really to boast to make us lovable, cute, you know, like that little puppy. No, we're not quite like that to God because we're sinners. We have defied him, spit in his face. We deserve judgment, but what happened? So we deserve judgment, but the other thing is we find blessing. God reached out to us. That's his love. It's undeserved. We don't deserve it. Now think about Jesus here. All believers are freed by Jesus. Now, this is where I want to go back to Palm Sunday. Jesus deserved blessing. Remember on Palm Sunday? That's where it showed the exaltation, the glory, the hosanna that should come to Jesus, the king that would save us. And that's why they put all those palms down. They were celebrating. That is what should, from then on, always be into eternity, that praise about how great he is. But that's not what he got. Just 5 days or so later, everyone says, kill him, kill him. And that's what he got. So on the cross, Jesus found judgment. You see, it's different. Jesus did not receive the blessing he found judgment instead. That judgment was our judgment he took upon himself. There's that contrary thing here. We are getting something good when Jesus really deserves it. And Jesus got the bad from us that he didn't deserve. That's what our salvation and Christianity is all about. You want to know about the core gospel? This is what it is. For God's people, we find blessing when we deserve judgment, forgiveness, life eternal in Jesus. For Jesus, he found judgment when he deserved blessing. And so, yes, we can remember that celebration. It was brief. It was just for hours, and then it passed. It was just to renew Jesus before he started going into every day into the city till he would be captured there, taken and cursed and brought outside the city to die. Sometimes we find ourselves fighting against God. Are you fighting against God right now? One or more areas of your life? Are you? Are you looking at a video game right now? You're fighting against God. You're saying, God's words are not that important to me. I want to play. I want to talk to my friends. Some of you are doing that right now. I can see you. Don't escape. You know that. But you're fighting against God. Why? You don't need to. Begin to come back to him. He's calling to you. The sooner you see the incoming grace of God coming on your life, the more you can go forward because he has his arms out. If your parent had their arms and welcome you like a little child, you see a little kid, oh, come, come. That's like our God, our Father, with his arms out. Even if your parents never had their arms out for you, God does. Welcoming you to change, to repent, to come back, to say, yes, the world's ways are phony and corrupt and cheap. But God's ways are always true and good and lovely. And God will give you a way out. And you say, I have compromised myself so much, I don't know a way out. I'm telling you, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation provide a way of escape. God showed David that he could get him out. Now, God had to do more with his heart, and that's why this 1 Samuel 30. He had to get his heart out of that situation. Sometimes, you know, oh, there's that girl there. I just, every time I see her, I compromise myself. And we can pull that brother back, but he's going to go back the next day. God has to do something more severe. And that's what we're going to see that happens in the next message on 1 Samuel 30. I hope that's not for you. But it does show us, remind us, God has ways of working with us. Because he loves us so much. Remember, he doesn't just want your presence here. He wants your heart. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for the way you work in our lives. Please teach us. Please open our hearts, Lord, and our minds in Christ Jesus, that we would not rely on our plans, not take you out of our lives, but be able to walk with you. To see your outstretched hand and we would put our hand in yours. God, take us. Use us for your glory. And if any here don't know you, any here that are just in that chasm of darkness, we call upon you in the name of Jesus. Shine the light into that chasm. Bring them out, Lord. Save them. Rescue them from their dilemma. That they could see again the amazing love of God. In Christ we pray.
This concludes our message on Fighting Against God, 1 Samuel 29, by Paul Bucknell, part of a larger series, Behold Our King, God's Constant Presence in Dark Times. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net, releasing God's truth to a new generation.